Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
Coming up on NBA Today, a revealing night in the association. The Nuggets are the best team in the NBA since the All-Star break, but did Minnesota expose a recipe to dethrone the champs here? Plus, this ain't Texas. Come on, Janae. Ain't no hold 'em. There we go. Shout out the queen. We saw something in the third matchup between Luka and Wemby that we rarely have seen. And tonight, the top two seeds in the East, they match up in Boston. Could this be a preview of the conference championship come May? NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi. She is Shanae Agumake. He is our senior writer, Brian Whitworth. We have Austin Rivers, Kendrick Perkins. I'm Malika Andrews. We have a jam-packed show to get to. After Anthony Edwards' dunk submission for Dunk of the Year, right, against the Jazz, we thought, how much could he still have left in store for Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets? I couldn't wait to see how this one would go down. But remember, the Timberwolves were down several players here. No Karl-Anthony Towns, no Rudy Gobert, no Naz Reid. So Anthony Edwards, who is all of 6'4", is taking this jump ball
heart over height
against Nikola Jokic. And they showed a whole lot of heart, Kendrick Perkins, in this game, particularly Ant.
And look, when yesterday when you asked, is he going to play or he was questionable, we was like, Wendy was like, oh, he's playing, because that's what he brings to the table night in and night out. But team whack by the Jokic. Look at what he did last night. He stood on business. He had it on his mind. He wasn't looking to facilitate. He did what he was supposed to do, and that was dominate offensively at all aspects, being aggressive, especially without Rudy Gobert and Carl Anthony Towns in the middle to stop.
22 points, 10 rebounds in the first half. No assists, though. That was a little bit of a rarity
for
Nicole.
For who? For
going
what?
Ahead to the third quarter here, though. Huh? Questionable coming in. Didn't look questionable here, Shanae.
You know the movie The Greatest Showman? Right now in the NBA, this is, thank you, of course you knew that. If it's a musical, it's going to be Malika Andrews' favorite show. But this right here is The Greatest Showman right now, the second half of the NBA season. His ability to play through the dislocated finger. Yep. I mean, read defenses. That's Jokic with the pump fake all the way to the step through. He makes you believe, no matter who is missing, I'm still going to bring my team every night to compete.
I love that energy, too. He had 14 points in the third. The Nuggets had 17 points total. But Brian Windhorst, you decided that sometime in the fourth quarter, when the Nuggets were cruising, eventually getting up to an 8-point lead, you decided that it was okay to turn off the final of this game?
I did. I didn't regret it because the Nuggets won.
There you go. Well, it came down to the wire a little more than we thought it would. Nikola Jokic, the Sombor sling, in shot form this time. Final seconds, though, here. Huge three-pointer here from Jaden McDaniels to really give the Timberwolves a chance here down the stretch. The final seconds here. The Nuggets going to foul? Are they going to foul? No? Anthony Edwards gets a shot off?
Wouldn't quite
get it to go. Now the Minnesota Timberwolves are one game behind the Nuggets for the second seed in the Western Conference. Oh, man. Just a front rim off. With a win percentage, though, just shy of 700, the Nuggets are on pace to win four more games than they did last regular season, which is pretty incredible because, of course, they went on to win it all that year. They also have slightly better both offensive and defensive numbers than last year, which is a little bit scary. We haven't seen repeat champions in the last 5 years, but I really think that Denver is looking like the team that maybe could put all of that to rest. But Perk, are this year's Nuggets, are they better than last year's championship team?
They are. And it's because of the starting five, and it's the pieces around Jamal Murray and Jokic. And it's Michael Porter Jr. Over the last five games, he's averaging a dub. And last night was a prime example of fourth quarter minutes, right? And he had those timely three-point shots, this dunk at the rim, snatching the screws out the basket. He finally looks healthy. We have to remember, when this kid was coming out of high school and when he was in college, he was the number one player in the country. It was just injuries that slowed him down, but now we're seeing him more comfortable. Michael Malone has more faith in him. Like, he's taking these shots in the crucial moments of the game. And it's like, as soon as I thought Minnesota was going to run away with this game once they got the league, I'm like, no, here come Jokic, and here come a little sprinkle of Michael Porter Jr.
Right, but it's still pretty incredible to think that the Minnesota Timberwolves, on the second night of a back-to-back, were putting in that of work against the defending champs, because despite the losses we mentioned, the Wolves are still just a game out of first. Two more matchups to go against the Denver Nuggets left on the schedule. You can look here. Minnesota was shorthanded, of course, last night, the second night of a back-to-back. Still, they were one shot away from sending this to overtime against the defending champion. So, Shanae, of any of the teams in the Western Conference, do you think that Minnesota is the biggest threat to the Nuggets?
Absolutely, because they were built, when healthy, by design to rival the Nuggets, and they have the ability. I mean, we're talking about a night where they're missing a number of their stars, but they still had heart, and that heart came from Anthony Edwards. And so, to me, this Timberwolves team, I know the Clippers, maybe if it was a month ago, would say, oh, it's absolutely the Los Angeles Clippers. Based off of their defensive prowess, based off of the next steps that we have been witnessing with that guy right there, the greatest showman currently in the NBA, this is the team that I would be most worried about when fully healthy, because their offense may not be perfect. I believe Karl-Anthony Towns fully unlocks it, especially as a stretch big, but they're long and they can compete with the best of the best. We just saw that yesterday. Now, the Nuggets have always been the favorites for me.
Yes.
I know they've been a little bit slow starting the season, but we all knew that if they were able to continue what they had, they would still be favorites, but they've actually gotten better. That's the truth of the matter. I mean, Jamal Murray was coming off last season, an injury season. Now he's just completely comfortable. And you nailed it, Perk. Michael Porter Jr. When I watched the Nuggets play in person, he was the one that blew me off the floor. Mm-hmm. 6'10", able to shoot. I mean, it just feels like they have refined their weapons, and they go with what they know. And what they know is that they're a team that can compete when they turn the lights on after All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Denver's still the favorite in the West. I think they are the best team in the NBA, even with Boston's record and what they put in the regular season. I've seen Denver reach a different level when they get to the playoffs, especially when they have adversity. They have the best player in the NBA plays on their team. That's just the bottom line. He's the best player, he's the most efficient player, and he's a guy that dominates the game, not just through scoring, but using the assets around him. I do love the emergence of Michael Porter Jr. With that being said, do I think they're better than last year? I don't. I don't think they're better. I think the loss of Bruce Brown and Jeff Green is vastly underrated. I love P. Watt. He's a young, talented player. I think he's going to be big for them in the future. But I think Bruce Brown and Jeff Green, their playing experience, playoff experience, guys who have played on playoff teams, when it comes to the playoffs, it's going to hurt. This is a team that got 13 bench points last night. They don't get a lot from the bench scoring. Bruce Brown used to have 18 himself in playoff games. Jeff Green would come in and have a huge impact. I love Michael Porter Jr.'s health. I love how he's playing. I love how he's shooting the ball. I'm happy. That's one of my best friends. But I don't believe, in terms of an overall team, I think there's a little bit more vulnerability to this team, especially when we see last night. Case in point, first off, they just lost to Dallas. And then we just saw them lost to a Minnesota team without their two bigs. Minnesota has been built to compete against this team by the same guy who built Denver, by the way.
Connelly.
Tim Connelly. So I think, all in all, I love Denver as a favorite, but they're definitely more vulnerable this year. And I think teams can compete, Clippers included. I know they're a mess right now, but
yeah. This game actually showed their vulnerability a little bit, because I actually think Minnesota probably walked away from this game not feeling so bad about itself.
No.
They got crushed on the boards, but because they were missing all their bigs.
Sure.
This was a game all the way down to the last second, on the second night of a back-to-back, and they found some schemes defensively that gave Denver a little bit of problem. You know, Jokic only had two assists in this game. Now, they obviously still shot over 50%. They still won the game. Good job. But Denver has some vulnerabilities. Another thing is just their rebounding off the bench. They don't have great size.
Why do you look so confused, Kendrick?
Well, because they're vulnerable on the road, but they're not vulnerable at home. And right now, the Denver Nuggets, especially with their record, they're looking like they're going to have home court advantage throughout the postseason. So if we're talking about their lack of experience or lack of depth as far as their youth on the bench, I'm not worried about that. Those guys are going to play better at the crib. And I said this at the beginning of the season. I said it would be wise if the Western Conference, if teams in the Western Conference would keep the Denver Nuggets from having that number one seed. That is going to matter. They are an exceptional team at the crib.
Home playoff advantage through the West, but the NBA Finals through Boston.
They season swept them.
Okay.
The road through the West, the road to the championship, it still goes through Denver. But the fact of the matter is Anthony Edwards was 0-for-4 in the fourth quarter. He hits one or two of those shots, we could be having an entirely different.
They were double and triple teaming him.
Right. Entirely different conversation. All right. I want to go from one bright young star in Minnesota to two in Texas.
Let's go.
Luka Doncic, Victor Wembanyama. They squared off last night in San Antonio. We're going to pick this one up early in the first quarter. How do you feel about those Spurs uniforms, the warm-ups, Brian?
I didn't think the Spurs were this color.
It's the month of March, so it's the rodeo in Texas. You gotta, you know what I'm saying? They got.
We're gonna pull up to that, but watch this. Look at this. 66 feet, more than 66 feet to Derrick Jones Jr.
And it's a chest pass, Malika.
Alley-oop pass. Don't just making it look easy. But then, what about this one?
Oh my goodness.
Which is better?
I might go with the chest pass because those are hard to actually execute.
But like, I don't like how disrespectful.
Come on.
It's just too easy for him. just toy it with.
You got to make that shot, and he did.
He had 18 points, 10 rebounds, 16-6, his 18th triple-double of the season.
Oh, he got that.
Up in this one. Yeah, I know. Victor, you got to watch out for him. But Kyrie Irving remembered it. Here you go, Keldon Johnson hitting the three. Victor had 12 points, 11 rebounds, 6 blocks. But Kyrie Irving, he really did take over down the stretch of this game.
Austin. I mean, it's about madness, Malika. And what he's doing to the league with both hands is straight madness.
He can't block them all. It's tough to block this guy.
Oh, come here.
Oh, my God. Come on.
He just is a wizard. Dallas gets the win, 113-107. So Luka, he did shoot just 22% in last night's triple-double, the lowest shooting percentage in triple-double history in the NBA among players who take at least 25 shots. Luka, he poked fun at his lackluster shooting performance, though, this morning on Instagram. He posted a couple of these videos. He does this before most pregames, kicking the ball in from the three-point line. And then he said, I should have used my feet in the game. Mm. Sure, that's how it works. however impressive that pregame trick shot was, though, it's still all about the full court alley-oop pass for me. So let's see where that ranks on the all-time list of long-distance lobs here. Well, we'll see. We're going to start with Nick Van Exel here. This is to Shaq in 1997. Dime.
Ooh, the extension.
And then Jason Williams. This is from beyond half court. This is in 1999, Austin.
I was seven.
Thank you. Well, how about one that we have for you that's a little bit more modern? We have Steph to Darrell Wright. This is in 2011.
There we go.
How old are you in this one?
I'm not good at math.
It was the landing. Come on, backwards, reverse. We see you.
Oh, and then we have earlier this season, we have Jokic to Aaron Gordon off the inbound pass.
That was Aaron Rodgers like right there.
It's the swiftness of the pass.
That's what I'm saying. That looked like a pocket throw.
Crazy.
Is that okay with being high on your list,
Broncos?
Friend?
Hey, Broncos.
Just one more from last night.
For real.
Luka Magic.
Hey, Broncos.
Did we miss any?
LeBron to Dwayne Wade.
All right, we're going to have to pull that one up. Still to come on NBA Today, Chiney tells us why the Bucks' chances at a title this season, they may lie in the hands of one Damian Lillard. It'll be Dame time coming up here. And the Warriors, the Grizzlies, they play tonight on ESPN, but they may not be the title favorites. I think that's safe to say this season. But who has a better chance next season when Ja Morant comes back? Interesting, we discuss. Plus, we're 1 month away from round one of the playoffs. Where has time gone? Zion is rounding into form at the exact right time. Kendrick Perkins tells you one key for them to shock the world. That's coming up on NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's. Clothes for life.
All right, so we had five games across the association last night, so we're going to go coast to coast on the action. Shanae, the Rockets, they were in D.C. Jalen stole the show. He put up 42-10 to help Houston win their sixth straight. They only trail the Dubs by 2.5 games, the final play-in spot. Will they nab it?
I'm not sure if they'll nab it, but they're giving a lot of people back home in the 281-713 something to talk about. Jalen Green has been sensational. I mean, we all know the life events. I can be your motivation. He's playing out there motivated, and he's just giving us consistency that I think a lot of people questioned down in the age, but now we're like, this is someone that can be the star for the next years to come. Rockets red, baby.
Speaking of winning streaks, you said we don't talk about the Magic enough, Austin, so this is for you. They won their fourth straight thanks to getting a 41-point first half lead. This is against the Hornets. You said they need more respect. Why are they dangerous in a playoff series?
They play hard every single game. Coach Mosley has reached out to these young players and got them to buy in to the team. Mo Wagner comes off the bench talking his trash, handling it. Cole Anthony plays with high energy. You've got a closer in Paolo. Franz Wagner is no joke either. They play hard. They listen to the coach. They're bought in. They are a dangerous team early in that first round.
Now to Brooklyn. The Pelicans, they won their third straight game, punctuated, by this alley-oop from Zion. It was Williamson's fifth straight game with 25 or more points on 60% shooting, passing himself for the longest streak in franchise history. That's always a flex when you pass yourself for setting a record. They're now only a half game out from the Clippers for fourth in the West. So Kendrick Perkins, it's time now for Big Man Ballin.
Oh, brought we have
to you
one
by
this
ESPN Bet. Yes, when Zion is playing like this, we absolutely do. What have you seen from him as of late?
Well, first of all, I don't know if it's Ozempic, keto diet, green smoothie. Damn it, I don't even care. The man has lost 25 pounds, and he looks phenomenal. Now, look. Here's the numbers. The max ball height last night on this dunk, 11 feet. You take his takeoff, 7.7 feet. The verticality was 31.9 inches. And guess what, Malika?
What?
The ball speed through the rim, the force, the anger, 24 miles per hour. Right? Take a look at it right here. Here we go. Zion Williamson, skinny Zion, or medium, whatever you want to call it, getting out in transition. Guess what? We got to compare too, because we saw this dunk and it's going to constantly remind us for the rest of the year. We thought this dunk was with force. It wasn't topping Zion 24 miles per hour through the basket. He's playing with great passion. Right now, over the last five games, he's averaging a little under 30 points per game. Guess what? 23 of those points are in the paint. So we can talk about his eating habits, but he's eating the thing that we want him to eat, and that's the paint, and he's doing it on both ends. Look at this block shot right here. This is the point Zion that we've been looking for. Check this out. Drawing multiple defenders in transition, finding his guy Murphy in the corner for the tray ball. Then we look at Zion. This is what makes him so versatile. Because his ability to put it on the floor, maneuver through the defense. They have four defenders. Look at the finish at the basket and watch the flex. This is what we've been wanting. This is why the Pelicans are my sleeper in the West, solely because of this young man and what he's been doing this year.
By the way, those 29.6 points a game over the last five, that is the most in a five-game stretch for Zion this season. So it is the right time for Zion to be rounding into form.
Hold on.
We got it for you. Don't worry, Kendrick. ESPN Bet is the official sports book of ESPN. New users, they get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book
bet. I know Austin, man.
You can check out Perks Big Man Parlay exclusively in the ESPN Bet app if you want to ride with Perk or any of the other big men. But, Brian, I want to start with you here because the Pelicans, they were in the postseason 2 years ago, but it was without Zion Williamson. He was injured in this one. What are your expectations for him in his first playoff run?
So we've never seen Duke Zion in the NBA. This is Duke Zion. If you forgot, because it's been 5 years, this guy made some plays at Duke that were absolutely jaw-dropping at both ends of the court. This is what has been happening here. So I expect that he can be the Duke Zion again, which meant he's the best player on the floor in a high-stakes game. I believe he can be that if he continues to be this way and he stays healthy. He's never had the opportunity to show us what he can do when he's this conditioned, and when he's in the postseason. When you see him doing that and playing with that kind of confidence, you honestly believe anything's possible, especially because they're only a game back of the Clippers for the four seed. They can do it, especially if the Clippers don't get their act together.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreeance. This is what we want. This is what we've been waiting for Zion to play at this level, to have that spring, to have that pop in his jumping ability. I haven't seen him move like that since Duke, or really early on, even his early on years. He was a little bit heavy, and he's had issues with injury and, you know, amongst other things. This is the first time it looks like he's playing clear-headed, drama-free basketball. He looks light. Give him credit. We've all poked jokes and said stuff about his weight, but he's gotten in the lab and shed weight. And now he's in shape playing his best basketball that we have. And listen, if he's playing like this, there's no reason that the Pelicans can't go to the playoffs and cause some.
By the way, he just became a father, too.
Oh. See, that's dad's superpowers.
Right? Perk, you were doing him dirty talking about
No,
we know he's
crazy.
Been done.
Yeah, he been
but
in
it's okay. You did him a little dirty, but we know it was a reverse
Ain't
compliment.
I want
because
some of
Zion
that.
Is from right now with the Pelicans. You said you want some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, might I as well at this point.
Go ahead.
Doing him dirty. He's from the Dirty South, and he's been doing his opponents dirty in the best ways possible. Just his ability to, it's the versatility for me. Mm. Like, they can, the reason why the Pelicans will be so potent is because they have length on the perimeter, they play hard, but most importantly, Zion can play in different ways. I've seen games where he's point Zion, where he brings the ball up. You see a pass right there. I've seen games where they said, hey, go get on the block, and it doesn't matter that you have a 6'10 guy behind you or a 7-footer, you can still attract double teams and you can still pass. That is the Duke that Brian's talking about. It wasn't just his sensational plays. It was like, oh, wow, this is a guy that can throw lobs in transition. This is a guy that can throw dunks down. Like, he is that unique hybrid, and that's going to give people problems because they say, oh, we'll scout him this way, but in the playoffs, he's like, okay, switch it up. I'll just go inside.
They're 7-1 in March. It's largely because of Zion Williamson. We should point out that he's played in 57 games this season after only playing in 29 combined over the last 2 years. I think that they will overtake the Clippers for fourth. I would not be surprised at all with the way that they have been playing if we see that shift happen here in the next couple of games. They've been top 10 in offense. They've been top 10 in defense all season long. That is a recipe for a team to at least make some noise in the playoffs. It's going to be interesting.
They're
to
my
see.
Sleepers to come out of the Western Conference.
To come out of the Western Conference.
They're my sleepers.
Completely.
Settle down, Perk. Settle
They're
down.
My sleepers. Sleepers.
Okay.
You're allowed to have sleepers.
Yeah, that would be your long shot team. We get it. Well, what about the Milwaukee Bucks? Can they make it out of the Eastern Conference? Coming up on NBA Today, Milwaukee isn't going to have their MVP tonight in Boston, Perk. So we're going to have the latest on how long Giannis could be out of the lineup, a live report coming up. And I love some home cooking, Janae, but even home cooking has not been enough for Chef Curry and Golden State. Are the Warriors in danger of becoming irrelevant in the West this year? Plus, before they hit the league, the NBA's biggest stars, they owned March Madness. We've got the top tourney dunks all time. We're going top of the top when we come back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Two teams in the East.
Set the tone.
You know what it is.
Yeah.
Together on three. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go, one. From the start. Let's go. Hit first.
Oh, Giannis.
Okay, now no shot. Here's Brent.
Look at JB.
Celtics top six. As good as any team in basketball.
Wait a minute.
Look, it's closing time, but you know it's also Dame time.
This is going to be fun.
There really is no bigger game this week than the one that is going to kick off our doubleheader tonight on ESPN between the Bucks and the Celtics. But Milwaukee's not the only one in Boston. So is our reporter, Tim Bontemps. Chipper, as always, thank you so much for stopping by NBA Today here, Tim. Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to miss his second straight game here with a hamstring injury. What more can you tell us about his health?
Well, Malika, the Milwaukee Bucks right now are being very cautious with Giannis Antetokounmpo, just like they've been cautious with Chris Middleton over the past several weeks. He just came back from an ankle sprain. As we both know, this is a team that's very focused on not just playing games now, but playing games all the way into June. And Giannis Antetokounmpo dealing with this tendinopathy in his hamstring, obviously a tricky thing, hamstring injuries. You've seen Tyrese Halliburton dealing with one for really the past couple of months now. For this Bucks team that's now three games ahead of the Knicks for that very important fourth spot in the Eastern Conference, which means if you're in second or third, you avoid playing their opponent tonight, the Boston Celtics, until the conference finals.
Right.
Their goal is to get Giannis as healthy as possible for the stretch run, and we'll see if that – obviously he's not going to play tonight. We'll see if he plays tomorrow. But I think the plan should be to get him back out there pretty soon, which is giving his hamstring a chance to rest and heal a bit.
You mentioned this potential matchup that we're all hoping to see in the Eastern Conference Finals between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics. How are the Celtics using this game to prepare for the playoffs?
They're using it the same way, Malika, that Joe Mazzulla has used the prior 66 or so games of this season, and that is to give this team every possible opportunity to take different looks and different approaches throughout games to have them as prepared as possible to win 16 games in the postseason. We saw when they played Denver a couple weeks ago, maybe the biggest game of the regular season.
Right.
Joe Mazzulla changed up his rotation from the game before. The game before that, they had Jrue Holiday guarding Isaac Okoro just to see what that would look like. Obviously not a top perimeter threat on the Cavs. This is a team that has used every opportunity to experiment with new things, try different lineups, try different combinations, all to be as ready as possible for the playoffs. And they obviously have the benefit of doing that when they currently have a 10-game lead over the Milwaukee Bucks in the standings and are only a couple wins away from wrapping up home court advantage throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Really, they're just a stone's throw away from being able to wrap up that number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Enjoy the game tonight, Tim. But here's the thing, right? Just because Giannis isn't playing, that does not mean the Bucks, they can't give the Celtics issues, right? Just ask Kevin Durant and the Suns, because Milwaukee has won three of their four games without their two-time MVP. So I want to ask the MVP of our breakdowns.
Oh.
Although Kendrick Perkins, most improved, potentially,
yes,
making a run
most
for most
improved.
What should we expect on the floor tonight?
Look, it's the battle of the big green. And if you're telling me there's still a chance, I will tell you exactly why. Because in this matchup, Dame may be a solo act. But don't write the Bucks off just yet. Dame has been cooking without Giannis this season. He's averaging 31.5 points, 9.5 assists per game when Giannis is out of the lineup. But just under 24-7 with Giannis. And I'll show you exactly why he switches the gears right here. Dame, pre-All-Star, was shooting around 32% from three. Post-All-Star, he's been on one. It doesn't matter who's guarding him here. Yusuf Nurkic should be able to defend this, especially with his size. He's 7 feet, but Dame able to knock it down. Once again, we say Dame time. We also say Logo Lillard. You got to guard him the same way you guard Caitlin Clark, for real. Once he crosses half court, but still, it doesn't matter. Two people in his vicinity, he's been doing so much better being more aggressive with his shot. But there's another star, though, that is stepping up in ways that you should also take note of. Jason Tatum has been on fire from three-point distance, since we're talking about threes, since the All-Star break, shooting 45%. In this time. That's after he shot just 36% on threes before the break. And I'll show you why this tandem between JB and JT has been so great. This guy right here has been averaging 33 points per game in the last five games. So guess what? When I move, you move, Perk, just like that. You know that? When he moves the defense, when he attacks and when he's aggressive, he's getting Jason Tatum so many better looks. I mean, watch this right here. He's playing so well that everyone has eyes on him. All he has to do is get him an easy look, pass to his tandem guy, and things just really go down really well. So this is the battle of the big green. No Giannis, but don't fear. These guys have improved, whether it's Dame or JT,
right,
in ways that people don't really expect post-All-Star.
Oh, they're going to need a whole lot of Damian Lillard, right? Because according to ESPN Bet, the Celtics are actually 10.5-point favorites over the Bucks. That's the biggest underdog for Milwaukee since 2017. You're never the underdog, though, Chinee.
Thank you, MVP of the LED.
Here's the question, though. I love that. Kendrick Perkins. We haven't heard a little pep talk from you in a good long while, right? So
that's what you want.
Who do you need to see a little something from tonight?
Well, I'm going to say this. Wick Grosbeck, okay? Brian Scalabrine, the legend Jeff Twist, Cedric Cornbread Maxwell. I understand the Bucks and Doc Rivers, our brother, is coming into the Garden tonight. Don't ask him how his family doing. Austin is doing just fine. We don't need a video tribute for Doc Rivers. Look, you need to make a statement. You want to know why? Because the Bucks, you got to keep them having doubt. At this moment, you're a month away from the postseason right now. You wanted to stomp the Bucks out so bad that you want them to root for other teams to beat you in the postseason so that they don't have to face you. Tonight is a golden opportunity to go out there and stand on business, put doubt in their head, send them home, and keep them with doubt. Listen, we don't need Damian Lillard going for 50 tonight. Jason Tatum, go out there, make a stance. Jaylen Brown, continue to be you, and let's dominate.
There's nothing that gets me more fired up than a Kendrick Perkins pep talk. Yeah. But here's the deal. As Tim Bontemps mentioned, the only double-digit point spread isn't just tonight in this game. The Celtics, they also have a 10-game lead on the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference standing. That's essentially the same lead, that Milwaukee has over the ninth-seeded Bulls Boston has over the two-seeded Bucks. Records are one thing. Talent is another. How big is this gap, actually? As big as it is on paper there, Austin?
There's definitely a gap. I mean, Boston's just consistently been a great team all season long. We've seen Milwaukee have identity issues. They obviously had a coaching change.
Yep.
They had new assets join the team. It hasn't really worked great. Dame plays his best a lot of times when Giannis isn't on the floor. They've had to figure out a lot of issues out that have improved nonetheless, but still have not been fully figured out. Compared to a Boston team that has arguably the best starting lineup in basketball outside of Denver because they've won, respectively, they're right there, and they've had the best regular season. But that's the key word here is regular season. This team is very vulnerable in some ways. Closing the game is one. They don't close the game the best. That guy right there, Jason Tatum, one of my favorite players, but he has not been the best down the stretch, particularly in the clutch, nor has Jaylen Brown. And we saw last year a team that was not even in the realm, if we're talking roster, Miami Heat, go in and punked that team and beat them in a game seven. They almost swept them before I'll give Boston credit. They did come back all the way from 3-0, so you got to give something there. But then they lost game seven in Boston. Both games this year versus Denver, they've lost. So are they better than Milwaukee? Sure. But we're talking about a team that in the playoffs versus Giannis, who I've seen reach the mountaintop, who I've seen go win a championship. They have a new coach who has playoff pedigree and a championship pedigree. They have Damian Lillard, who's one of the best closers in the game. We just talked about Boston's lack of clutch. That's all Dame does. So are they better than Milwaukee? Absolutely. There's definitely a gap there. But in a seven-game series, I have to see Boston be that team that we all want them to be. I need them to be the regular season team. I want that in the playoffs. I want Tatum. He says he wants to be the new face of the NBA. I want to see that, him be the new face of the NBA. These are the things that I want to see Boston do so we can now legitimize how much we talk about this team. Because all we do is talk about how dominant of a team they are, but then last year they getting bounced by Miami Heat.
Now you speaking my language.
So that's what I'm saying.
It's not just the playoffs, because there's one hole in Boston's resume, and that's how they have performed against the elite of the league.
Yes.
They have not done well against the teams at the very, very top, that sort of 640 club that you're looking at there. And not only that, like you're saying, Perk, that you want to send a message and have some doubt for the Bucks. This is kind of a free roll tonight because they're not going to have Giannis. The last time they played them with Giannis, they beat the Celtics by 30. And even if the Celtics win tonight, they can be like, no problems. So, like, their clutch situation is a factor. That's absolutely something that they've got to work on. But some teams that they might have to face in the late rounds of the playoffs have had some success against them this year. And it would help, the confidence has to be on Boston's side, not just on the opponent's side. The opponents have some confidence.
Yeah, but I mean, Boston's getting that confidence, Perk.
I mean, again, I'm with Austin on this one. The Celtics, I could care less about what they do in the regular season. Their season starts on April the 20th. Like when it's time, when everybody's record is 0-0 and it's time for a gut check and a heartbeat check. Like, is your heart pumping Kool-Aid or is it pumping blood? That's what I want to see. And when you talk about Jason Tatum, he's actually the worst in clutch time for players that qualify.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's the worst.
But mind you, they win games by the greatest margin. So he's not necessarily on the floor a lot in clutch time.
But hear me out. Stay with me. That's not going to be the case in the postseason. The game is going to slow down. Guys are going to elevate. Coaches are going to have to coach. And might I tell you, Eric Spoelstra is still lurking. Nick Nurse is still lurking. Like, they have – Tom Thibodeau is lurking. They have some exceptional coaches that are in the Eastern Conference when it comes down to, for preparation.
And it still doesn't feel like we've seen the best of the Milwaukee Bucks. The question is if we will, but we've only seen three games with Chris Middleton, Dame Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo under Doc Rivers. So we haven't really gotten to see that. And then we were praising their defensive strides in March. They were, what, they were – third in defense in February, and now in March they're 28th. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that the Bucks need to figure out if they're going to contend with the Celtics. Mm-hmm. But it starts tonight, and it starts on our air. We got that matchup for you to kick off our doubleheader at 7:30 Eastern. And then the Grizzlies take on Steph and the Warriors. Our coverage tips of NBA Countdown. That's at 7:00. Speaking of, Steph Curry, he really owns that rivalry, at least for now. But in the future, will the West run through Ja Morant and the Grizzlies? We debate next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, at least it went out with a bang.
Bang! It went out with a bang!
Mike Breen?
You said bang. That's my line.
Well, I meant more of like an electrical fire bang.
Like this?
Bang!
No, like bang! 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 Bang!
That's a pretty good bang. But what are we going to do about this bang?
Oh, you don't need a catchphrase. You need a jingle. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm is here to help.
Bang!
He really went out with a bang.
The NBA on ESPN, presented by State Farm.
I mean, Steph. He's just amazing.
Come on. Do you really want to bet against Steph Curry? I feel like
starting something. More Curry magic puts it in. Steph Curry coming alive. Even those two are impressed. You know I can't
get enough. I love it. It's just the greatness of Steph Curry.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
The Warriors hosting the Grizzlies tonight on ESPN. Will J-Lo be the soundtrack? Well, I don't know, but the Warriors are hoping to avoid a fourth straight loss in Chase Center. Memphis has been crushed, we know this, by injuries. So it's not quite the rivalry we envisioned when the schedule makers put this on the schedule, but there is a whole lot of history between these two teams. So the question is, who has a brighter future, right? The Warriors, they still have Steph Curry, 21-year-old Jonathan Kuminga in the midst of really a breakout year. The Grizzlies, meanwhile, they have three franchise building blocks, 25 or younger, Ja, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr. They could add another one with a top pick in this summer's draft. It's a down year for Memphis, right? But when they are fully healthy, when you're looking at that starting lineup of Moran, of Jaren Jackson, of Desmond Bane, of Marcus Smart, which team do you think has a brighter future here, Brian?
I mean, I have to say the future that I know. I know who's on the Grizzlies. They're all 25 and younger. The last 2 years before this one, they were the number two seed in the West. You don't get that by accident. That's when those guys were like 22, 23. So, you know, this is an assumption, which is always dangerous. These guys get back to full health. There's no reason to believe the Grizzlies can't pick up right where they left off. And who knows? We've seen this over and over in NBA history. You know they're going to get lucky in that lottery and they're going to get a high pick when they've got this gap here.
I'm with Wendy on that one. I feel like it's time for the Grizzlies, right? And we know that they've been through a lot of ups and downs, but let's talk about the importance of this game tonight for the Golden State Warriors. And this is not going to be an easy game. This Memphis Grizzlies team, they play with a lot of grit, tenacity. They got Desmond Bane back. They just took the Sacramento Kings in the overtime. This is not going to be a cakewalk game for the Golden State Warriors, so they got to be prepared mentally to strap their boots up and go out there and play.
Come on, y'all. I understand. I have to go with what I know, and you never bet against Steph Curry in, you know, any circumstance. Oh, no, but give me this, right? This season is probably one that you want to flush down the toilet if you're Steph and the Warriors, right? They're going to still compete, but they're trapped right now in the play-in. You said, Perk, not too long ago, they have to do something. They have to maximize on their talents. The way that we talk about LeBron James, I know it's a different conversation in some ways. Steph Curry is doing remarkable things at year 15. If the window is the next 3 years, my bet is that Steph is still going to continue to lead the league in made threes. My bet is that the Golden State Warriors are letting this natural evolution of what's happening this season sort of just happen where, all right, Clay's bought in on a different role. We're examining who's playing well in this new next era. Jonathan Kuminga has taken strides. I don't think this iteration of the Warriors is what we're going to see for the next 3 years. I think this is probably going to be the most important offseason for Steph Curry and Golden State because he's still in his prime the same way we talk about and marvel about LeBron James, you know, in some circumstances. So I still go with Steph Curry, and I do believe Golden State will find a way to make sure they compete with him over the next 3 years.
You got a lot of good points. You got a lot of good points.
Did she sway you, though?
No.
Dang!
The Grizzlies, in terms of the future, we talk about Bane, who's entering his prime, Jaren Jackson, who's entering his prime, Ja Morant, hasn't even scratched the surface. We're going to have a rejuvenated, motivated, heavily motivated Ja Morant to come back. This team has only been taking punches the past year. Not to mention, in this draw year, they're going to have a good pick, and they're also going to have a guy, because remember, it's a draw year. So they've had players that they've played.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? And it's not just because we're talking about these two teams, I promise. But in 2021, when Steph Curry was the only healthy member of the Warriors, you know, future Hall of Famers, right? And they had this down year, and then they come back the next year, and they win a championship. I'm not saying that the Memphis Grizzlies are going to come back next year and win a championship, but who's the beneficiary of this down year? Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren Jackson Jr. is getting to take that next step with his offense. Then you add back a healthy Ja Morant. You start adding those ingredients. I don't expect Memphis
to miss
that.
They also have Gigi.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Austin. Gigi Williams has been a great opportunity.
Gigi Jackson.
It's been great for him. And to develop some other guys, they're going to reap some rewards from all this.
Absolutely. This back here has only made opportunity happen for all these guys. Now they got other new assets that they can put around Ja, Bane, Jaren Jackson. Like, this team, if we're talking about future,
yeah,
we talk about the Warriors. I love Steph, but Klay's not going to get any better over the next 2 or 3 years. Dre already said publicly on his pod that after another 2 or 3 years, he might retire.
This year reminded us all, put the world on notice that out with the old and in with the new. The new wave of players, whether it's Ja Morant, Zion, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, like, it's time to let go of the old heads.
Shanae said something really important. This might be the most important offseason for the Golden State Warriors. How do you read the tea leaves on that, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's two things going on with the Warriors right now. They're trying to win tonight. They got to win tonight to keep the play-in tournament.
Right.
And then there's the whiteboards that are behind the curtains in their front office.
Don't go behind the curtains.
Which is, they got some stuff to do this summer. You got Klay Thompson's free agency. You got Chris Paul, who they could potentially use in a trade. They could let him walk, or they could sign and trade him. There's some things they could do there. They have multiple first-round picks that they could trade. You know, Joe Lacob recently went on Tim Kawakami's podcast and said they're going to try to get out of the luxury tax or get out of something next year. I don't know how they're going to do that and still improve the team. But I think that they're going to be in the market to renovate this roster. Whether they finish 10th, 9th, 8th, 11th, whatever, that's going to happen regardless. That's clear. The only thing we do know, Steph will be there, Draymond will be there, and Steve Kerr re-signed. After that, I think their roster is a lot of question marks.
After that, there's a lot of questions. I'm going to be watching that game in a couple of weeks coming up against the Houston Rockets because final spot in the Western Conference play-in between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. A fight also begins tomorrow, March Madness. Ooh. So we're going to run back some of the best tournament dunks all time. These are so great. They're so good. You're not going to want to miss this. That's next.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's, Clothes for Life, and in part by Marvel Animation's X-Men 97, now streaming only on Disney+.
So less than 24 hours from now, March Madness is going to be underway officially. I know first four and all that, but that means the next generation of NBA stars and WNBA stars, they're going to be hitting some rims. But let's take a look back at some of the best dunks from NBA players in past NCAA tournaments. We're going to start with top charges gone wrong. I know you got to squint, but you're going to see what we're getting at here. Oh, no.
Take a charge under the rim.
Yeah. Oh, Magic.
Look, he got the rim.
No.
Problems.
And then.
Okay, Hakeem.
Wow. And the volleyball roll. The volleyball roll.
Oh, he did do the volleyball roll. That's impressive.
Oh, and the photos coming out of him were also sick. And then we have some
TV.
Top one-handers here.
ESPN late night.
Glide the glide.
Hey, Clyde.
And then pushing it forward.
Why do we see you in those shorts, Perk?
That's not the girl want to see, Wendy.
Going ahead to, what was this, Blake Griffin? This is 2009.
Yes. Nah, he just, look at that.
One of my favorite eras of college beat.
Well, what was Zero like, thinking?
First of all, you had to, I can't speak. I was going to say, you had to watch the scout report, but never mind.
And then throw it down.
I mean, he ran into that.
With two hands here. Darvin Ham.
Oh, D-Ham. Oh,
okay.
When you do that to the backboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's built like someone that would break the glass. Muscle.
Right. A little hammy.
Anyway, wear low socks today.
Ja Morant, this is the first time we really.
Oh, my goodness.
We really got a chance to see what Ja Morant would be, just a high flyer in the NBA.
That was an electric run.
But the question is, what's in store next? ESPN Tournament Challenge for both the men's and women's brackets, they are now open. So you can download the app to get started. The men's game closes Thursday at noon Eastern. The women's game, that's Friday at 11:30 Eastern. So make sure you don't waste any time. You get your brackets in. All right, friends, we're going to play a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm going to give you two options. You're going to pick your favorite. Shanae Gumake, you're going to start us off.
I got
Who
you,
Who had
girl.
The better in-air adjustment?
Ooh.
Was it Devin Vassell or Jalen Green?
A little Texas two-step. Oh. You know I got to go with Mr. Rocket, Jalen Green, right there. I mean, look, what he's been doing, there's so many plays that we've seen the last five or so games just like this, like one-handed. Okay, no, respectfully, Devin Vassell, I'm going with Jalen Green.
We're just going to show Devin Vassell one more time just so that the folks at home maybe can give him a little love. All right, Austin, who had a better look away through here?
Love it, Suggs.
Jalen Suggs?
I love it. Let me see.
Or Jalen Green? It's a battle of the Jalen.
Let's go.
I got to go back to Jalen. First off, he looked away
Which
early.
Which one? You
he
said Jalen away. Green and Jalen Suggs.
Jalen Green.
Okay.
my bad. He looked away earlier. Look, that was like right before it went in, and then we get Jalen Green's. Look, as soon as he let it fly, he's gone. I got to go Jalen Green
I think I might go with Suggs.
But he ran away.
Better oop. Luka, the long distance pass.
Well, the pass was special, but
Zion on the finish.
Give me Zion. Damn it, he could have touched his glutes with that basketball. He cocked it back.
He's screaming on the way down. He knows how awesome it was on the way down.
Okay.
That pass was incredible.
Oh, no.
All right, and then we have the Sixers at the Suns tonight. Brian, who do you think is more likely to make a playoff run here, Philly or Phoenix?
Well, who's got the chance of getting an MVP back between now and the playoffs? I think it's Philly. And I also think that Phoenix's schedule down the stretch is brutal, and it's going to be hard for them to avoid the play-in. I think Philly can get in the top six.
Yeah, Phoenix really may be in danger here of slipping into the play-in. Who you got in this one, Shanae?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Philly as well. I mean, if health is on their side, I mean, that's the biggest if. What if Embiid comes back and they're able to contend? So I'm going with Philly.
Kevin Durant's healthy. Bradley Beal's healthy. Is everyone going
in the West.
Philly? That is true.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go with the Phoenix Suns, yeah. Right? I'm not going to sit up here and act like they don't have a big three. They have had trouble, like, finding and putting it together consistently, but they got enough offensive firepower that when they clicking, it's dangerous.
I'm in agreement. I think when you talk about Kevin Durant, Brad Beal, Devin Booker, in a playoff atmosphere when the game slows down and it's possession by possession and you need guys to score, they got three guys that can do that, plus a variety of role players who have emerged for them. You know, we're talking about a what if with Joel, and even if he comes back, how much time is he going to need to be himself? That's a lot of weight. He's a big guy. I'm going Phoenix.
All indications are that Joel Embiid, he says he is coming back. Only time will tell. Hey, enjoy tonight's games.
Trust
Thanks so
process.
Much for spending some of your afternoon with us. We'll see you tomorrow.